go in Jesus' name.
Do I go up there? Okay, thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, were you all blessed last night?
Amen.
Amen. I try not to be as wired this morning as I was last night, because I was looking at the clock, but how many of you the Lord spoke to you last night? One of the things that in my prayer time and fasting time and seeking the Lord that I ask for the most is that He will use me as a vessel, not just to bring a preached word or to be a sought-after speaker. I'm going to get them to take that off the bio. I don't like that, or the word popular. I want us to, in this hour, to do everything we can to thrust and to lift up the name of Jesus. And one of the things I learned about Dr. Price, even with the bio, he said he just liked for them to say, "Here's Fred," because really it's not about us, it's about him. Although I do understand, as a woman in ministry, and this helps a lot of the women, especially in a lot of countries I work in Islamic countries, you have to put some credentials out there so that they know just because you wear a skirt, you packing. And so there's for that. But one of the things that I love about my pastor the most is that out of all the things that I follow him the most in and make me want to follow him, the thing that makes me want to follow Dr. Bill Winston the most and love him, and Sister Veronica, I do, is the way he loves his wife. And I look, it's not, watch this, the anointing and the eloquence of speech in the pulpit means nothing to me when a man of God is preaching. I'm looking at how you love your wife, how sensitive you are. And with that, I segue into the man that loves me and the man that chased after me in this place. And I get to say this all this time, look at him, because he doesn't have the mic. And so, but help me honor my husband. Daryl, would you please stand? This tall, dark, long-legged, make my liver quiver attorney from New York City. Amen. So I got 43 minutes, so we got to rock and roll. There should be some questionnaires on your table, so can you put those out and pass them around right quick? And even while I'm speaking, begin to look at them so we can expedite time, because we got a lot of ground to cover in a little bit of time. Pastor, this is one of the things I learned in my training in Cape Town, South Africa. First of all, with Dr. Billy Graham, I don't even know if he uses the term Dr. Billy Graham, I think it's just Billy Graham. I wanted to know a man that has reached the world the way that he has, whether you believe in his doctrine or not, one thing you cannot argue, and that is his strategy. This man, as we went through the training, we saw the pictures of heads of states in Islamic countries, the Kremlin, nations that don't believe in Jesus, that allow Billy Graham to come in and have national meetings and national stadiums back in 1950, 1940, 1960. And we saw him with men like Gaddafi, and we're like, how in the world is this man? And I'm thinking, we all think we something because we speak in tongues, but yet we've not reached the world like they have. So I thought, you know, let's start dealing with the mindsets and the strategies of how they train and how they reach the world, and how then a lot of people say, yeah, but all those people come forward, how many of them stay saved, you know, when he has the big altar calls. But guess what? He says, that's not my job. He says, I ask the local church, I will bring them in. And that's why I was saying that, Pastor, you know how to harvest them in. But see, everybody got to stay in their lane. If he had to disciple the people, then how are he going to continue to, are you hearing me? That'll pull on him. And the reason why a lot of you pastors are so tired is because you've placed people in leadership that they're supposed to be discipling the saints. Are you hearing me? You shouldn't be the one having to counsel them all the time and changing diapers. You should be away in a place of vision. But watch this. People will only attain to what you require. I'll go back to my trainer again. Every time I feel like giving up and he tells me I can't give up, he places a higher demand every time I come back in there, pushing me higher. And I found that I didn't even know my body could do certain things. And I thought, wow, I call it divine elasticity. It's like you can do more than you think you can do, divine potential. So the people that you're getting frustrated with, God sent them to you and they have the ability to reach higher. But what we have to do, and this is what I learned when I was there, we spent a lot of emphasis on a type of lectorial delivery of the Word of God instead of strategizing. So we're going to take those questionnaires while you're looking at them in about the last couple of minutes, or maybe in the middle of this time of training. I literally want you all to take 5 minutes, and this is what I have to ask you to do, especially on this side of the world. Remove the mask. Don't try to front. There's nobody at that table to impress, because the one you're trying to impress, he really don't have it together as you think he does. We're all in this together. So don't be afraid to say, you know what, man, I don't really have a missions budget. You know what, we don't really support missionaries. You know what, we don't really have a passport. You know what? I don't have a passport. You know what? We don't really pray for nations. You know what? We just never did this. It was never a focus and an emphasis in my church. And my husband's ministry is a ministry that's outside of the box, in that his arena is to raise up global leaders, to raise up leaders, to create an awareness and to make them equipped to become, to be in a position of influence in the governmental, political, judicial area. So in that particular area, when he goes to churches or talks to pastors, some of them don't even want to admit, you know, well, when it comes to the political realm and the political arm, we don't really have a segment in place. Well, guess what? If we don't have that in place, we're going to continue to vote in the kind of leaders that we have, and then the church people are the first ones to call somebody the Antichrist. Well, if the person is the Antichrist, you allow them to be put in there, and if they are the Antichrist, it's going to be the fulfillment of Scripture. You know who we're talking about. So we are the ones who vote people in. We're the ones, the legislation of things are determined by the church, not by Capitol Hill. And I said all to say we have abdicated our role and we don't understand the part that we play. We are to be the ones that are determining what happens on planet Earth. Ephesians 4:11, put that down. We're going to start there as our foundation. Ephesians 4:11, God placed the fivefold functionality of the gifts in the body. The reason why the fivefold functionality of the gifts are placed in the body, every one of these giftings, as you know, have a distinct place. And if you are a pastor of a local church and you never bring in an apostolic gifting and you never bring in a prophetic gifting and you never bring in anybody with an evangelistic stir, then no matter how much you love the Lord, if you're operating in that particular office, I'm sorry, you don't have it all. We all need each other. So when you bring in people, and that's something that I know God's called me to, I know how to mobilize people. If there's something I got from TL and Daisy Osborne, I sat right up under them. They mentored me from the age of 21 years old, and I sat and I watched everything they did like a chicken on a book. I would listen to the meetings when he would meet with the pastors. Like for an example, I'm going to try to get this in right quick. My first crusade with them was in Uganda, and I saw when he would meet with the leaders in the back before and all the preparation before the conference, before the crusade took place, and he would tell these leaders, look, I'm going to bring them in. Let me tell you something. Get ready. Just like last night, 63 people got applications to go through the school last night. Can we take a second and believe God in the name of Jesus that there's 63 new generals that are going to be trained? Guess what? We got to cast bigger nets. We got to raise higher bars. Guess what? If you start casting bigger nets, if 63 was now, it's a new standard now. You know how when you people like a heavyweight champ, whatever, now there's a new standard. Now we got to go beyond that next time. So he said to the pastors, I'm going to listen. They're going to come in. But you have to be ready to maintain and to keep and to disciple the ones that I bring in. So it's really all about the concept that many of you have heard in the G12. It's really about win, disciple, send. Say it with me. Win, disciple, send. Say it again. Win, disciple, send. We've been putting all the weight on the pastor to win, to disciple, and to send. And you wonder why you're tired. So he would train these pastors, look, I'm going to bring them in, they're going to come, but you got to have things in place to be able to keep them and to be able to take it to the next level. So we want to talk about some things that we need to do to shift, some things that we need to do to expand, and that word I said last night, ekopto, to go back to the place of origin and then re-strategize and begin again, because that's exactly what you should get when you come to M&M. Pastor Winston puts things so together that if you leave here and you don't have everything that you need, it is your fault. Can we take that time and just thank God for the gifting? So one of the first things that we want to do is let me show you, let's get a real picture, because most of us don't really wrap our minds around it. So I want you pastors to please take time, and it's not going to be so much maybe inspirational this morning like it was last night, but this is information. This is a think tank. This is to begin to think on a higher order. One of the things I say to my staff all the time, come up in your thinking. Let's think from a higher order. And it is true that the stuff that you eat affects the way you think. Let's maximize the way we think. Let's begin to come together objectively and bring, for God's sake, you bring a thought to the table. For God's sake, you think ahead. Even if the idea that you brought to the table, I don't use it and I table it for a while, but it means you're contributing and it makes you feel like you're a part of the whole. So one of the things that I want us to do, let's put the pie chart up first of all of the 1040 window. Very quickly defined for those of you who don't know, so we're all speaking the same language. The 1040 window is a geographical part of the world that extends from the very tip of Northwest Africa to the tip of East Asia. It extends from as north as Turkey and as far south as Sudan. As we spoke last night, that part of the world is the most unreached part of the world. So if that part of the world is the most unreached part of the world and most of the people of the world live there, who do you think is on God's heart? Now table that thought just for a moment. Who do you think is on God's heart? And that's where most of the world lives. Jeremiah 33, is it 31, 315? It says that I will give you pastors after my heart. So pause right there. Before you start talking about ordination papers, before you start talking about a license, before you start talking about three churches, one church in five locations, before you start trying to do all that, get on this bandwagon, all the other boys rolling with, you stop first and you continue to ask yourself, do I have his heart? Every effort, everything that I'm doing, everything that we're doing in here, the core value and the core culture, the core personality of this ministry, is it reflecting the Father's heart? Because if it's not reflecting the Father's heart, guess what? You can't have two masters. Either it's your agenda or his agenda. Can I say that one more time? It's either your agenda or his agenda. But one of the things I found out about God, when you touch God's heart and you go after the things that are the pleasing to him, the things that mean the most to him, he will supply all of your needs. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. And so the 1041, I want you all to begin to wrap your mind around this and begin to get your eyes on this, because visualization brings manifestation. Faith has to have a target. How are we going to win a world and we don't know what the world looks like? We don't know what the world is. We don't have conversations about the world. We don't know what's going on in the world. The only time we know anything that's going on in the world is when there's a disaster in Japan or you hear it on CNN News. Those sources of information were never meant by God to be the source of information to educate his people or to inform his people about the world. The source of information and your template, your blueprint, your map is the word of God, and your reference is Psalm 2 and 8. Ask of me the nations, and I will give you the nations as your inheritance, and the ends of the earth as your possession. Sister Veronica, Dr. Veronica has an excellent book on praying for the nations. And then the Bible teaches us this very, very clearly. Oh, I got so much to give. When Jesus was doing his triumphal procession into Jerusalem, and they begin to lay down the palm branches saying, holy, 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 Hosanna, 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 which means deliver us, save us, save us. That's what the world was crying out for. Save us. Help us, deliver us. And he knows in the Hebrew what Hosanna means. And he's hearing the cry of the people. And he knows that when they say, save us, save us, he is the Savior. He is the deliverance. He is the answer. And even though the same ones that were saying Hosanna later on was saying crucify him, but that was part of the scripture too, of the fulfillment of the word of God. But then he needed, as he was coming in this procession, he began to quote right before all of this happened. He had gone in and made an observation. And everybody was looking. They could never figure out where Jesus was coming from a lot of the times until he broke it down and explained it to them. And right before this procession, Jesus came in and he saw money changers. And these money changers were, what they did was to make it convenient for the people. They would take and bring all of the sacrifices and you could exchange the money. And the part of the temple that they had made it convenient for the people, where God wanted them to see what it felt like to sacrifice, to have to walk for miles with your bull and your goat and your basham, for it to cost you something and for it to mean something. So that by the time you came to make the sacrifice, your faith, your conviction, it meant something. But they said, no, we want to make it easy for the people. And then also we can make more money. You got to start watching out for these people come up in your church talking about, we can market you better and we come up with all these different, your people will have you spending all kind of money on the newest thing because somebody else has come in as a consultant or whatever to tell you that this is going to grow your church. Well, let me tell you how to grow your church. Get God's heart. Amen. And so what happened was Jesus saw, he said, my house shall be a house of prayer for all nations, but you've made it a den of thieves, a den of iniquity. It was so interesting because when you think about the part of the temple that they had erected for the money changers, that was the part of the temple that was designated by Solomon for the refugee, the widow, and the foreigner. So they took out the space for the refugee and the widow and the orphan and put in its place money changers and activity. Sounds like the church today. We can't afford to do missions. Why? Because you're trying to keep the latest sound system. You're trying to build the latest wing. You're trying to get the latest technology. You're trying to upkeep things so we can make it convenient for the people and satisfy the people. And so we end up propping. And let me tell you something. When you start looking at your budget, if you spend a moment out, the statistics that I study all the time, there was one church in Michigan that spent more money on cleaning solution and choir robes than they did missions. So what are you going to do when you stand before God?
What I want you to understand why I went to Matthew 23 last night is make sure that the substance of our ministry, the core of our ministry, the actual substance of what we do, make sure that when we stand before him, according to the book of Corinthians, the 10th chapter, 1 Corinthians, he says we will stand before him and everything that we've done in the body or out of the body shall be tried by fire. And we want to know that when we stand before him, what we've done is going to come forth as pure gold. And a lot of the things that we're giving activity to, and a lot of the things that we're financing, and a lot of the things that we're causing ourselves to be top heavy and spending our money on, when it's placed on fire, it's going to be consumed. It's not going to go with you into eternity. Only souls and the advancement of the kingdom and doing what God has called you to do to fulfill his mandate is going to make it. Are you all hearing me? The Bible says in John the 16th chapter, the 31 and the 32nd verse, the 31 verse gives you a pattern. And the pattern that he gives very briefly is that he's saying that if I die and go to the cross and be lifted up, all men will be drawn unto me. Look at the pattern. Satan was in heaven and he was saying, I will exalt myself above the Most High. So God is sitting back there going, okay, bust a move. So then he tries to go up, exalt himself above heaven, and God says, you're going down. Are you with me? Jesus, on the other hand, said, I'm willing to go down. And God says what? I'll exalt you. So with God, the way up is down. With God, he operates from the inside out. The tabernacle in the wilderness. The substance is the stuff on the inside. Stop being so external, veneer. You know, cheap furniture is veneer. Cheap gold is shiny. Stop putting so much focus on external, outside things. Are you hearing me? Let's get to the core of what this is all about. And as Pastor said, when it's all said and done, it's about the kingdom. Somebody shout the kingdom. Kingdom. Somebody shout the kingdom. Kingdom. One of the things that we have, and we'll definitely do it right at the very end, so I have to watch my time. That cruise that we're doing, that you don't have to pay the money right now. Just sign up and show them that you're interested so we can lock it in for you at that price. We're going to go with your youth, your young adults, and families as well. There's some whole families that are coming. The strategy is to come away from everything and to train, and the training sessions, to train, and in a safe environment that there's no English barrier, you can now take your youth, your young adults, your evangelistic teams, and you don't have to worry about anything being put together. Once you pay that $400, that's everything. And we're invading the island and going after 113,000 students. That's how many students are in the schools when we divide up the 3,000 missionaries that are going to hit. Now, my whole thing is, that's what we're doing in Jamaica. But the same strategy, we can begin to go. Do you realize that there are nations like Djibouti, that these nations are smaller than some cities in the United States? You're like, Djibouti, who booty, what? Guess what? Those nations like that, you can go and take an entire nation. Let's use the one that's just 700 miles from our border. Haiti can be taken. They can't even figure out who the president is. We can take it. So when Pastor talks about own it, take it. Stop thinking about owning and taking it just being about money and a car and whatever. Let's start believing for nations. So let me show you another pie very briefly. Let's show you the pie of the pie chart. So I want you to wrap your mind around. Did they ever show you the 1040 window map? They never did. Okay, well anyway, that's the pie chart then. Do they have the pie chart up there? The pie chart shows that most of the world, there we go, over half of the world is under the age of 30. Pastors, hear me. Please hear me. Because if you don't hear me, the next generation, it's going to cost us, this is one of the things I learned there, it's going to cost us another decade, maybe two, if we don't shift our strategies now. In order to reach global leaders of tomorrow, we have to reach them now. Somebody say now. Yeah. Somebody say now. Yeah. People under the age of 29 make up half of the Earth's population. Some say 30, some say 29 of the population. A large portion have never heard the gospel. 90% of the world's children are in developing nations. Let me pause there for a moment and let me tell you what the life is like of these children. So this is how you need to teach your youth to pray in youth church. Stop putting people in positions to be youth pastors that's playing video games and activities and trying to find fun with the kids. We're supposed to be raising up an army. While we're trying to go bowling and they want to go skating and the youth said they want to have more fun and they need more activities. activities, and so we need to buy this so we can be like the other youth teams because it's a visual generation. But why? Let me show you what the rest of the campus, the Muslims, while your kids playing video games, they're willing to strap a bomb to their body and they're deploying 12,000 suicide bombers. So now watch this. What is your youth gonna be up against 10 years from now? Let me paint a clear picture to you. They already are pushing in the schools same-sex marriage. They already pushing gender blending. Are you hearing me? They already pushing this type of mentality. If we don't get them rooted and grounded in their faith, write this down. Get Josh McDowell's book, The Last Christian Generation. Make it a mandatory for your youth leader to read that. He paints, he's done 30 years of studies. We serve on the same board. He's gonna be on the cruise as well. To help pastors and your youth leaders understand, he's doing several training sessions to understand how the youth thinks. Do you know that a large portion of Christian church-going kids do not even believe in the second coming, do not even believe in the concept of sin, because we got all this inclusion type of thinking? So guess what? Their young adults are getting more radical about what they believe, and we're just trying to maintain ours with some video games. There's got to be a shift. Somebody say a shift. We got to intensify. Somebody say intensify. Now, I talked about the Mormons last night. They're deploying 180,000 missionaries to the field between the ages of 18 and 21. And they're everywhere. Mormons own Mrs. Fields Cookies. They own Marriott. Are you hearing me? So they're taking the proceeds of all. They're going to look like Marriott? The Mormons own Marriott? And I'm waiting to confirm this. I heard it's Kinko's and FedEx as well they just bought. But now watch this. They're taking, and it's mandatory for them to take a large portion of what they make to fund it into the kingdom. What pastor's been teaching that all along, that God wants you rich. God wants you blessed. If you only have just enough for you, you don't have enough. This thing that God's called us to do is going to cost some money. Big money. But guess what? We are well able. Because when you show up in a nation and you can feed a nation and you can solve the problems of a nation and you can bring clean water to a nation and you can bring English as a second language to a nation and you can bring technology to a nation, they can be an Islamic nation, but watch this. They will listen to you proclaim Jesus, because the Bible says, let your good works be seen amongst men that they may glorify your Father which is in heaven. I believe that if you show up and feed a nation, that's a good work. Say amen. So over half of the world. So that means that we need to now go back and say, what are we going to do about this? You know what? My church in the inner city, we just been, and please, for those African-American brothers and sisters that are here that happen to be of my persuasion, would you please stop insulting God and revealing your ignorance by saying, what we need to go to Africa for? We got starving people over here. We got people over here don't have jobs. Well, sweetheart, there's a difference between starvation and famine and welfare. You can get on welfare here. So go on and make up in your mind that if when I, now watch this, this is the thing I love about God. When you accepted the call, you had a choice. And here's what your choice. You could have chosen to accept the call or not accept the call. I love that this carpet is different. I wish you could see it. There's a line of demarcation here. And as long as you're on this side, you have a choice. I don't have to accept the call. I can run from God. But the moment you stepped across and said, here am I, Lord, use me, then you gave up every other agenda, every other alternative of doing your own thing. From that moment, you became, according to Galatians 2 and 20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but it's Christ that's living in me. And the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Say amen, somebody. You're in a race. You're on a mission now. And so you cannot be sidebar. No longer can missions and the kingdom be a sidebar agenda in your church. It cannot be. It must be the primary thrust to advance the kingdom of God. And so we have to change our strategy. So let's look at some of these things. And there's no way I can go into this whole course. We only have, I think they told me like about, I think it's like 60 left of these. What we've done here is we've done all the homework for your youth leader. All the homework for you. It's got links connected to it. We have it on the flash, and we have the CDs, and then we even put them on DVDs so you can just plug them in there and get them to watch it. Everything I learned in Cape Town, I said I'm bringing it back to Living Word. Are you hearing me? I started looking at how in the Islamic world, how they're reaching their youth. And then when I'm sitting at the table with the Hindus, how are you reaching your youth? And then those that are in the inner city and those and first of all, our youth, get this, the same way they're teaching you that they gotta learn other languages in order to be marketable in the commerce world. Are you hearing me? Your young adults have got to know world religions. They've got to know what they believe. How can you reach a people that you don't even know what they believe? But then how are they gonna know world religions when? Mighty quiet in this Episcopalian meeting. So that means we gotta start doing our homework, we gotta start reading, we gotta start studying, we gotta start, are you hearing me? Step outside of our own box. We put inside of here not just so that you can lay everything out for world religions, but the strategies of fundraising for your youth, some of the strategies of English as a second language. You can get young adults to go, so many nations will swing wide their doors if you just had ESL. English as a set. The Arab nations want to know English and they will receive it. We need to begin to raise up our young people to understand that have a calling to in the medicinal world. We need medical missionaries on the field. This is what the Mormons are doing. They groom the next generation and deploy them. And so when you look at the strategies, we talk about patterns with Paul the Apostle and that 1 Thessalonians, turn it very briefly. Let's look at how Paul operated, because we don't have to really, really try to outthink God. You can never perfect on God. Just follow the pattern. What he does is he has an older group, which is your Aquila and Priscilla. And he first started out like with Barnabas and different ones. But then he made sure he kept some Silas, some Timothy's. So what was he doing? This is the major strategy with kingdom advancement. You must, number one, at one time while you're reaching to continue to mentor and to develop the ones that you have in your house, you got at the same time with the same intensity to be reaching forward for the future generation. And in order to reach the future generation, you have to lay foundations, you have to put strategies in place. I can't say it enough. Right now, you must do things right now. You must shift the way you do ministry right now. And if the majority of the people that we're called to reach that are under the age of 30 are in that part of the world, let me paint their world to you. Most of the people that are living in developing countries, well, the most densely populated part of the world under the age of 30, they're in human trafficking. Get your mind wrapped around it. You've got to have a component in your church and get informed about human trafficking. It is no longer just abroad. The gateway cities for human trafficking is Chicago. The gateway cities for human trafficking is Miami. The gateway in our country, the gateway cities for human trafficking is New York, Charlotte. It is amazing. And over in that part of the world is where they're funneling into these gateways from that part of the world. Children, there's 10 million children being sold into child prostitution every single year. What do you think? God says that you would be a pastor after his heart. And God told you you would be a pastor after his heart. You crossed the line and said, here am I, Lord, use me. That means what's on his heart is supposed to be on your heart. So how can you tell me that's not our thing? We don't do that. We're not called to that. Well, that's what most of those children are into. That's the tyranny that they're up under. That's the oppression that they live in. Then child slavery. We give you all the links. We give you the how-tos to reach them. We even give you the way to teach your youth how to pray for them. Because before your youth can go reach them, your youth have to understand how to pray for them. We give you a mapped out strategy, an electronic map, so that you can take to your children's church and teach them how to profile a nation. What do you mean how to profile a nation? That means that any youth at any time, how many of you know we call to be sharp in our game, to be at the top of what we do. Your youth at any moment should be able to say, what is the infant mortality rate of Eritrea? What is the life expectancy? You all hear me? The life expectancy of Sudan. What is the annual income? And when you profile a nation, I can look at that nation and tell exactly what that nation needs. And by profiling, this is what the United Nations does. This is what IMF does. This is what the World Bank does. This is what the Mormon does. This is what Jehovah's Witness does. This is what the Muslims are doing. This is what MTV is doing. So when I look at a nation and I see that the infant mortality rate is high and the literacy rate is low, and when I see that the annual income is only like 50 cents a day, immediately I need need to bring in economic empowerment. Number two, they need English as a second language and literacy. Number three, if the infant mortality rate is 80 and 90%, they need medical missions. So I'm not gonna go over there trying to bring what they don't need and try to bring some colonialistic concept of how to do missions and try to bring to them what they don't need. I wanna bring to them what they need, because when I bring to them what they need, they will glorify my Father which is in heaven. And this is the other thing. You got all these NGO organizations. Write this book down. You've got to get it. It's called Lord of Poverty. In this manual, in the CDs, in this curriculum, we put in there a whole list of suggested reading and a whole list of suggested movies. Unfortunately, some of the movies are secular movies because the Christians have not made anything to reveal what's actually going on. So just get past that, okay? But when we go in and bring a nation what it needs, in the government, in the non-government organizations, when I say NGO, you're supposed to know that means a non-government organization. They are spending billions of dollars, and there's billions of dollars out there even for grants for people who have this in place. Do you know that God has put in the hearts of people the desire to fund what God's called you to do? So get your books in order, get your stuff in order, begin to train and begin to develop so that you can go in there. And I say the kingdom of God is laid up for the wealth of the kingdom is laid up for, is in the hands of the unjust and is laid up for us. And God wants there to be a transference. Well, guess what? I just want my portion. And we're gonna begin to think outside of the box and say, what do we need to do to be brought to the table? What do we need to do to be at the place of making decisions that are going to absolutely alter and to change not just the future, but nations as well? We have to start now. Somebody say now. I want you to take a moment and I want you to look at the questions there. And I want you to be honest with yourself. Because while we're sleeping and while we're doing church as usual, there are forces out there that are advancing. And I love the military way of thinking. Pastor said, I think it was General Patton said, that the aim is to make the enemy give his life instead of you giving yours. Am I right about it? So, but guess what? The only way you're going to be able to do that is you got to get on top of it. You got to begin to say, okay, look at how the Islamic wall is falling right in front of us. Pastor Hershey, you know, Keith Hershey, years ago, the things that are happening in the Middle East, you never dreamt that it would have happened. When I first started going in the Persian Gulf, and I'm sure he was going in that time, we were going in the Persian Gulf almost 20 years ago. I used to have to conceal myself. Even going into Sudan, I used to go in like a Muslim. In the nations like Kuwait and Oman and Yemen and Doha, Qatar. Sound like tongues, huh? And Abu Dhabi. It wasn't like it is now. It's opening up now. And God has caused them to begin the system to crumble from within. Well, guess what? Guess who Pastor is deploying teams into? When the things happen in Bahrain, when things happen in Egypt, when it began to be a breakdown in Algeria, they had teams already in place and they shifted and deployed their youth in. Guess what happened when the Kremlin wall came down? The part of the world called Central Asia, which is a very densely populated part of the world in the 1040 window, the ones that got to Uzbekistan, Turkmenistan, the ones that got to Central Asia first, which they can easily get over into Afghanistan from where they're positioned. The Mormons got in there first, and the Muslims got in there first. Then we spent our kingdom dollars trying to unevangelize what they've done. Well, why can't we be at the forefront? Does this make any sense to you? And so now, Central Asia is 90% Islamic, and they were once atheists. They didn't believe anything. The one that gets there the first wins. How are you reaching tomorrow's global leaders today? And of course, I gotta give word people scriptural references. 2 Timothy 2:2. And the instructions which you have heard from me along with witnesses, transmit and entrust as a deposit to be reliable and faithful to men who will be competent and qualified also to teach others. Ask yourself the question. How am I, and when I say reaching, the reason why I said, I told my staff, put global leaders there, because I know how Westerners think. They will say, oh, we got youth church. Oh, we got an academy. We have children's church. But how are you preparing to reach global leaders? What percentage of your budget is targeted towards developing the next generation, locally and globally? And the scripture reference. Number three. What percentage of your budget is targeted towards the 1040 window? One of the things I love about the template and the paradigm of this house is that you have a man that is before you that is modeling. I used to say this all the time when I was the consultant for Dr. Price. I would say, Dr. Price, it is amazing to me that all the big boys model you with the tailored suits, and that's all right. I love that. Don't, you know, I like the, you know, the, you can have the flavor. You can have the swagger if that's what you're into. You don't have to give up your swagger. Just don't let the swagger consume you, that it's what's on the inside instead of what's on the outside. So I said they wear the signature cuffs like you, because I watch things. They wear the designer suit like you. They got the jets like you. They got the Rolls Royce like you. They got the house like you. They got the dome like you. They open and close their services like you. But the thing that they don't follow you on is the part that you do concerning missions. Why is that? You're modeling it before them. When I first came to Dr. Price, there was no fiscal year missions budget. And I remember when I sat down with him and laid out a 5-year global strategy for them, which we completed in 3 years, and I turned it over into a hand. So I said, when I came there, I said, I'm here to work myself out of a job. When I laid down the strategy to Dr. Wilson, he said, make her an offer, she can't refuse. He made it, I didn't refuse. But watch this. On my birthday last week, we deployed my babies from Yugo. They've been sent by Dr. Frederick Casey Price to run the entire Namibia base in Namibia. He's starting them out with a hefty salary. They were Yugo babies. Why? We're training the future for tomorrow, today. What we have to understand is you've got to follow the template. Pastor Winston has a large portion of the budget, operating budget of this house goes towards reaching nations. Reaching the poor. Come on, you all. Man, we were just with them in South Africa, and our friends from South Africa are here as well. And he got up one night, and he was saying, man, the people were waiting for him over there with bated breath. My husband was with me at the time, and Daryl came back, and he went back to South Africa again. I think we're just going to end up living in South Africa. But watch this. He said, you know, you have no idea what it cost me to do this. And when he said that, Pastor, I was wondering, wonder how much it costs. Wonder how much it costs. And then when he publicly said, when he read the first night, $250,000, I said, golly. You know, I'm 14 miles from Gomer Pyle, that's where I was born. And I was like, Shazam. Whoa. So guess what? That means you gotta come up. And guess, and my little, I was thinking like, wow, that's pretty big, you know? And then I thought, you know, but we gotta start thinking like that. We gotta start thinking like that. That if God called us to do it, he's going to finance it. Can you say amen to that? I'm running out of time, but can I ask you to do this for me? Can we just take 3 to 5 minutes? And let me see which would be the one that I would want you to come around the table and discuss very briefly the most. Well, you answer yourself, does your church give towards missions consistently? Does your church operate in a... Let's do this one about the 5-year plan. Go to that page. If Jehovah were to stand before you, and I remember this as well with Doc, with Dr. Price, when we first laid out the strategies, and I asked a question. I said, Dr. Price, if Jesus were to stand before you right now, and he asked you for the schematics and the blueprint of how you built the dome, would you be able to show him? Yes, Pat, yes. If he asked you for the youth center, I mean the youth part, that the schematics and the blueprint, yes, you can show. What about your budget, your physical budget of operations? Can you show your fiscal, your compilation report? Yes. Well, if he asked you, what is your 5-year global strategy for reaching the world? Can you show him? 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. When I met with the people in South Africa, they were making 20-year plans. And I said, we gotta come up, we gotta step up our game. So if Jehovah right now were here standing before you and he says, show me right now your plan for reaching the world for the next 5 years, take a moment and think about it and you all discuss it at the table. Do you have a plan? This is real thinking. This is not, this ain't shouting. Talk amongst yourself and don't try to front and floss, just be honest. Because guess what? There's something about doing that that makes you accountable. Am I right about it? While you're looking, John Hagee, you probably saw him on T.D. Jakes' program, said that he has a 15-year plan, and if he were to go home and be with the Lord right now and put a trip together, it's the Memorial Weekend. And guess what? Well, our kids are still in school. They get credit for going on trips like this. We already have the letter in place for you to get to them. We want to get them, even if it's a choir, to begin to shut up and pray with them and give and birth the nations inside of them. I'm going to ask that you would allow the pastors to get the remaining of the curriculum, the DVDs, and the manual, and the flash first, so that you can take this back. And in the era of child slavery, human trafficking, it's just so much in here. And all the links are there. It's hours and hours of study. We did it all for you, so you don't have to do it. And for right at $100 with everything together, I don't know what it is, they make the, but you can go back and have everything you need to implement now. Somebody say now. Stand to your feet. Now, Father, I pray for the pastors that are here. And Father, when you look from heaven, there are generations that shift and turn times. And then you have different assemblies throughout the earth that these churches have an atmosphere that can birth things. We just happen to be in one of those type of churches. And the reason why I know that's true, because, Father, when I came here 11 years ago, my image of who I was, what I was called to be, you used this man and this woman to encourage me and lift me and say, Pat, don't call yourself a missionary. You're an ambassador. And I can remember, Father, when I first got my first invite to Word Explosion, and I called Pat Maher and said, find pastor for me. Guess what? They invited me to speak on a platform with Benny Hinn and Creflo Dollar and T.D. Jackson. Ask them to pray for me, please. Ask them to pray for me. I'm nervous. And then when pastor called me back, and I said, Pastor, I'm just so honored and privileged to be. Can you believe this? And he said this to me. They're privileged to have you minister with them. And tears just streamed down my eyes. I said, he and Sister Veronica believe in me. And from the time I got in this place and in this platform and this, things changed, doors opened. And so I pray for the very same thing for all the pastors that are here. That the things that we've seen in his life, that we will be faithful to teach them to others who will also teach others. And that, Father, we will not just come and just go after the jet, the mall, the bank, the school, but we will go after the heart for the nations, the heart for people. And I thank you that you've given this man to be over me and my husband, to lead us and to guide us and to show us. And Father, I pray that when these pastors get back to their local assembly, that they'll bust up in there like there's a new sheriff in town, and that they will raise a higher bar for leadership and not be afraid to sit people down if they don't bear fruit. Because it's not our church, it's your church. And then, Father, we thank you that evangelistic teams will go forth from their local assembly. And we pray, Father, that they will have willing workers. And we pray, Father God, that the church will come to a place that you don't have to pay everybody a salary to do something. Because the Mormons operate on 80% volunteer status, Jehovah's Witnesses as well, and definitely the Muslims, which means we do this just simply because we love God. We pray for those kind of people to come forth in the body. And then we pray, Father God, for the future generation. And we pray for our young adults right now that are going to be facing so much more than us. Father, that we will equip them and raise them up to be ready for the times that they face. And we prepare to do that now. Father, we honor you. And we thank you in Jesus' name, and we agree by saying amen.